Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. We're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh my goodness, last week, woo! Man, if you didn't listen, I gotta tell you this, you gotta go back and listen. Okay, let's see where we get started. Well, we started shaking the Monday morning blues with our Memorial Day tribute. Yes, last week Monday was Memorial Day, and we got a little history lesson about, you know, Memorial Day and, you know, not so great news on the other side. You know, we found out that mesothelioma really started back in World War II. Yes. You know, the fleets and things were made with that asbestos material. And a lot of individuals in the Navy was working around that stuff. And now that's what has brought on this mesothelioma. They said it has a real long time where it can be in your system. Yes. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that they had to endure that as well and didn't even know it. Yes. So, we also got an opportunity to talk about bonnets and other sleepwear on the outside. Yes, Monique, you know, she had her conversation with the public where she advised the young ladies, what she calls the young sisters, as well as the queens, please don't wear your bonnets outside. She said she saw those bonnets in the airport, in the street, and yeah, we took a survey from our due time crew, and they have really declared some madness going on out there. Brother Al talked about how those moms dropped those tykes off the school. Brother Pastor KL talked about how he has seen, some stuff going on too with the calls that's supposed to be on the inside. And what we need to do when we get outside, how do we represent, you know, and that's what was her real issue. You know, she says, don't do this for your man. Don't do this to try, you know, to worry about him. Just do this because pride's sake. Okay? And yeah, she had a point. Well, We had our switch tip on Monday, and it was stop getting distracted. Oh, and it always seems to partner up with our conversation for the day. And yeah, stop getting distracted. You know, we are so easily distracted. As soon as one person starts to do something, then before you know it, everybody's just going buck wild, and now that's a trend. You know, stop getting distracted. You know, there is, you know, no, the Bible does not talk about wearing bonnets outside. Okay, so stop. Just slow down a minute. However, we do have a charge to do things in decency and in order. See, I keep telling you, the Bible addresses everything we got going on in life. Yes, and being outside is not being decent. And it is definitely not orderly. Well, you know, Shantice may have had, you know, her instances of, you know, what distraction means and so forth and so on. However, you know, I always got to add my own little twist to it. And, yeah, you know, we got to focus on what God has told us to do. And we need to partner ourselves up with God because, see, he would help us through all these little things as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it doesn't always mean the big things, you know, get addressed. It also means the little things get addressed. You know, it says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Are you helping him? Come on. If he got to worry about picking through bonnets and pajama pants, you know, nah, we ain't really giving the men a nice view of who you really could be. Now, it does not attest to the, you know, to who you are in its entirety, but it does attest to some other things. Because remember, everything is off. If you can be outside with your bonnet and your pajama pants, yes, there's some other things that's off. And yes, we can safely say that because the Bible also tells us that a man is unstable in all his ways. Remember, I always say it works across the board. You ain't just deficient in one area. You know, if you're fearful of the dark, you're fearful of a whole lot of other things. Yeah, you know, so come on, let's get that together. So stop being distracted and focus on God, and he can help you through even the smallest things. Yes. Okay. Well, we moseyed on down to Tuesday. Let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. And stealing from the church was the topic. And here's what I love about talking with the Due Time crew. See, you're never in just a limited space. No. We talked about the major theft ring where, you know, the people stole from all the churches, and, you know, they almost hit $1 million, and they used it for vehicles, food, and clothing, and they were sending stuff back to Romania. Well, we talked about how we steal from church, not just the money. Now it was just the outside people. Those are the non-believers. That's where we started. But, you know, we kind of brought everybody up in this conversation. How we as believers steal from God as well. And that's not good. How do we steal from the church? Are we really doing our job in church? Or are we robbing the church of the gift that God has given us that we need to put it, you know, put it back into the church? Anything short of that, you're robbing the church, you're robbing God. Okay? So I'm sorry to break your heart, but yeah, it was some kind of conversation on Tuesday. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and wow, Wednesday, I don't think wow, Wednesday gonna ever be the same. Nope. Wow, what, you know, Vivian got it started, and yeah, we got to start watching Vivian and her stories. Yeah, we talked about the fact that the LGBTQ and continue of the alphabet, not making fun, but, you know, gets extended past that. Yeah, they are now insulting the women and I guess maybe some men. Yeah, the transgender community does not want, you know, the word men in woman or women. So they've put an X there. Yes, they did. As well as calling us vagina owners and people who menstruate and, yeah. Yeah, they out of control. They out of control. Because to raise yourself up, to build yourself up, does not mean at all that you insult everybody else. And the women of worship handled that so eloquently. Yes, they did. Yes, and you want to go back and listen to that. Because let me tell you something. You know, out here in these days and times, everything, we're walking on eggshells for everything. I mean, you say hachu, and that didn't offend this community. If you say, ah, that thing then twisted up some other community. Yeah, you can't do nothing. Everything you do, yes, I said nothing. Anything you do is insulting to somebody. And you know what? You end up walking around being silent. But they handled this, the women of worship handled this so well that nobody could come back with anything. Yeah, you could, but would it have any merit is the question. And the answer is a resounding absolutely not. Yeah, you better check that out. Oh, my goodness. Well, Thursday rolled around. Thursday rolled around, and we had a wonderful, wonderful conversation with our Due Time crew, and we talked about how your feelings can take you into bad decisions. Yes, what are the things that, you know, you're going through, that you're feeling, that, you know, really bother you, and what is plaguing you that really causes you to make some decisions that you don't need to make. You know, we talked about the trial has come for the young man who died in the college on campus because he drank himself to death. Yes, he was a freshman, and all the older fraternity members, you know, they got all of this hazing and initiating and initiations and all of this stuff. And yes, you know, we talked about what leads you to join these type of communities. And we talked about being it, you know, feeling like an outcast. Yes, you know, we don't know why you feel like an outcast, but you do. And that could very well take you into a bad area. We also talked about feeling alone. You know, sometimes people just can't be alone. And now that causes them to belong to certain communities. So, you know, that was a fantastic conversation. And the Due Time crew held it down very well. Well, finally, we got down to Freestyle Friday, and the men had their say, and they took us out into a weekend. Oh, did they not? I got so many compliments about Friday's show and how well the men did, and that was so wonderful, yes, because we talked about the... Let me make sure I say it right. Habits that lead to terrible decision-making. Now, it doesn't sound like it's a big difference between there, but yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. Go back and listen. You'll hear the difference. Well, we talked about men being lazy. You know, they were talking from a male perspective and how being lazy could definitely take you to a bad decision-making experience on a regular basis. Okay? And, you know, you got to make sure you don't let that laziness or that indecisiveness take you into the wrong realm of life or the wrong headspace. And now you are making the wrong decisions. Not just wrong, but terrible, terrible decisions, yes. So that was our week. Man, did we have some week? Where were you? Were you able to join us? If so, go back and listen. You may have missed something. If not, you better go back because you did miss something. And I'm so sorry that you didn't miss it. But you might just be starting on this journey today because last week we also learned that God has blessed us. We are now present in 6 additional countries. Oh, yes. Talk about doing the work of the Lord. Yes, I'm here in my basement. You know, Pastor Kale is where he is, and Pastor Kim is where she is, and Lady Tamika is where she is, and Al is, you know, doing what he does, and hey, we all come from a different neck of the woods. We all do what we do. Some of us multitasking, and hey, some of us are on our way to a job, and God has found room for us to minister. And, man, 6 more countries. To God be the glory. Yeah. So, today, we are shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. Can you believe it's Monday already? Oh, my goodness. It's Monday already. And we're back at this again. Well, I have to tell you, I anticipate God pulling out another fantastic week if he should spare our lives to see till Friday. Yeah, because we're continuing two conversations, and we got some brand new ones, and we got some new stories and new information and all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, I hope that you are doing well, and I'm so happy that you've been able to join us. And we're getting ready to take a quick break so you can go get that healthy breakfast. Yes, we discussed that as well over the past 2 weeks. You should be able to grab that in no time. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a break. We're going to be right back in a couple of seconds. So make sure you take that time to tell a friend so they'll know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. Okay? Well, thank you. We'll be right back.
In 2018, over 300,000 lives were lost to cervical cancer, and the problem could soon be much worse. But right now, we can come together to eliminate this cancer for good. If by 2030, we could have 90% of girls vaccinated, 70% of women screened for early signs of cancer, and 90% of patients receiving treatment, in the coming years, we can save millions of women's lives. Each one a daughter, a partner, a mother, a friend. Together, we can create a cervical cancer-free future.
Well, good morning, and a good morning to you. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and I'm happy to have you with me today. Yes, we had a fantastic weekend, and still recovering. Yes, still recovering. And are you ready to begin this week with us? Okay, I hope so, because we've got some news. So go get your pen and paper. You know how we do. You know how we do. Go get your pen and paper, because we got some stuff that we need to discuss this morning that you may find really interesting. Okay? So, we are talking about blood sugar today. Yes. Blood sugar. Yes, for those of us who are diabetic and those of us who are pre-diabetic, just found out that someone is actually taking medicine because she's pre-diabetic. Man, we got to get her off those meds. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to take meds when you are ill, but it's another thing to take meds before you really get ill. Yeah, we can't have that going on. No. So this is one of the reasons why we're discussing health on a regular basis here, so that we don't have to worry about, you know, some of these things. We can stop it and get it under control before it really gets out of control, okay? So we're talking about blood sugar today, all right? And that's glucose, your sugar level. And just so that you know, they say that a healthy blood sugar level is something that is definitely under 100 milligrams in the morning. And that's your fasting blood sugar level. So it always needs to be, as a diabetic, I have a little bit of information. It needs to be on a regular basis at any time of the day. To have a good read, you need to be between 70 and 115, they say. Yes, if you poke your finger or prick your finger or however you call it, and it is in between 75 and 115, you are doing okay, all right? But for the morning, your morning blood fast, when you check it, it should always be under 100 milligrams, and it's going to definitely spike once you eat breakfast, which is why you need to definitely check it before you eat your breakfast. Okay, because you're definitely going to get a spike. Definitely going to get that spike, okay? And they say it may go to up to 180, but at least 2 hours thereafter, it should be at about 140, okay? And that's slightly higher, but if you're a diabetic, then that's not a surprise, and it's not the worst thing in the world, okay? So make sure you get those numbers. At all times, it needs to be between 75 and 115. When you do your fast, your sugar fast in the morning, you check your blood, it should be definitely at 100. If you've eaten breakfast already and just forgot because you were just that hungry, it should have reached maybe 180, but definitely after a couple of hours, if you check it again, it should be under 40, okay? Also, for those of us who are diabetic, we also have to check our A1C with our doctor, okay? Every 3 months, you have to check your blood sugar level for the past 3 months. Yes, isn't the body something else? I tell you, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's your A1C count, and it should be 5.5. 7.7%. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. I don't think I've ever seen 5.7%. That is definitely a number for me, and probably for you too if you're diabetic. Haven't seen those numbers ever. However, you can get it there. Yes, you can. I do know people who do have like a 6. Yeah, it exists. May not exist for you, but we're going to get you there. Okay? And don't panic. Get to writing, because I'm going to help you understand why you may be on the higher side. Okay? Well, number one, your genes may already have those components. Yes, diabetes is definitely hereditary. Yes, that's why you've got to be real careful if your grandma, your mom, your grandpa, uncles, yes, because diabetes is definitely hereditary. It does run in your genes, okay? Why will you normally carry a higher level? Well, because you might be carrying some excess pounds. Yeah, like me. Yes. Listen, we've been talking about how we maintain weight, lose weight. Yeah, this is serious. This is really serious. Lose that weight. Lose that weight. It might be hard, might be difficult, but it is not impossible. And we're going to take "it's hard" out of our vocabulary and start eating properly. Okay? The third reason why your diet is not correct. Yeah, they say a lot of these refined carbs, get to writing, snacks like cookies and chips and all that kind of stuff, processed foods. Yes, all of those things help to spike your sugar level. And yes, for those of us who like those sugary drinks, oh, get rid of it. Yes, I now live on water and green tea. Yes, iced tea. Mm-hmm. And I put no sugar in it or anything. And I have to tell you, as a person who stays thirsty, part of that is because of the diabetes, but I'm also a water drinker, that green tea hits the spot. Yeah, because there's no sugar in it. And when you drink, for those of us who are diabetics, let me tell you something. One of the worst things you want to do is start drinking sugar, because your body begins to crave it even more. And that green tea cold, it just... Shanti's can't handle it, but that's all right, because she ain't got to handle it. If I were her, I wouldn't care either. But she's going to get older, God spares her life. So, and she comes from a lineage of diabetics. So, yes, get that. Take that sugary stuff off the table. Remember, if there's a tomorrow in our, you know, existence, we're going to have to be more concerned about it, okay? Another reason is, are you writing? Okay, let me help you. One of the reasons why you may be why your numbers may be high, your sugar numbers may be high, is you are predisposed because of genetics. Yes, your family, it's in the lineage. You are overweight. Just put it just like that. You might be eating wrong. Okay, yeah. You don't get enough fiber. Ooh, yes. And we talk about this all the time. And maybe tomorrow we'll talk about this fiber thing again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about fiber all the time here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. So since we're talking about diabetes today, and one of the reasons why your numbers might be high, I guess I'll give you a little hint as to how you can get more fiber in your diet. Go back to those notes, but just in case you're just starting out with us, I'll give you a hint, God spares this week, okay? How we can get rid of the high numbers by eating a high fiber diet. Okay? All right. So, here, get the right. No, don't put the pens down yet. I got another piece for you. Okay? So, how do we get those numbers in check? Okay? Again, for the one who's pre-diabetic and taking meds, oh, no, we got to get rid of that. And if they have not, I know Minister AJ talks about he's pre-diabetic. Well, oh, no, we're going to get rid of this stuff here. Get it under control. Well, they say we need to eat carbs together with fat and protein. Yes. They say the combination slows the absorption of glucose into the blood. Yeah. So that's why they talk about eating a balanced diet. So you just can't go eat carbs or just go eat the fat and the protein. Eat it together. Because now it's a family and one side helps the other. Ooh, something I learned today. All right. They say eat on a regular schedule. Yes, this is something that the doctors, dietitians, nutritionists tell you when you have diabetes. They tell you can't be eating all willy-nilly. Yes, mama. Yes, you always got to fight. What you want? I don't want nothing. No, we can't eat like that. We have to eat on a regular schedule, okay? And listen, for those of us who have jobs, come on. There's no reason why. And you know what? For those of us who don't have jobs or a conventional job, we can get this done too. There's something called an alarm clock. Yes, if you have a cell phone, you can now eat on schedule. Look how easy that is. Look how easy God makes it for us, okay? Get those alarms in order, okay? So we're going to make sure we eat on a regular schedule, okay? They say another way you can keep from taking that med and getting your sugar under control is to keep your weight under control. Yes, and if we eat on schedule, if we eat a balanced diet, look at this. I mean, yo, it's not rocket science. We can do this, people. We can do this. Keep that weight under control. Because once your weight is out of control, yo, those numbers are going wacko. Okay? And last but not least, they say make sure you keep at least 30 grams of fiber in your, what you call them, your diet. Okay? So here's what they said. Whoa, they gave us even some assistance here. All right, so you're trying to reach 30 grams of fiber. They say half an avocado has like 6.5 grams. Okay? They say mix that with a half a cup of beans for your taco, and already you're at 14. Wow. Okay. See? Look how easy that was. You already halfway there. Now, there's so many other ways, and again, we're going to, you know, take the time to, you know, look that up. So, Shantice, please remind me because I don't want to forget and I have made promises. Okay? So, this is the way we can make sure we keep those blood sugar levels. I'm saying levels like they're more than one, but you get my point. You know, we want to be healthy. And one of the biggest things that happened with the COVID was you know, they said that those who were, you know, had issues already, health-wise, were really at risk for contracting COVID. And, yeah, when they did the study, a lot of people who succumbed, I'm not even talking about got it, I'm not, because, you know, people got it. I'm talking about those who lost their life. A lot of them were diabetics. Because your body, you know, we did this earlier, you know, in the life of its due time, you know, because your body shifts and the things that the COVID-19 attacked were those of us who had issues with our body because of diabetes, because there's a lot of things that happen when you're a diabetic. Okay, so we want to make sure we get this diabetes under control, because there are other things that happen when you're a diabetic. Okay, so we want to make sure we learn. Okay, so for those of you who have issues, I want to hear soon. Make sure you check back in. And listen, we got two cans of tuna twice a week. That's it. And that would either prevent or stop. Now, that, what are your odds there where you can get it from both ends? We talked about pomegranate juice, 100% pomegranate juice, and how that is so beneficial. Now, listen, you're only drinking 8 ounces a day. So for those of you who got to have that sugar, then make that, because let me tell you something, that pomegranate juice is sweet. Yes. And for those of us who don't drink a lot of sweet, man, that thing hits your palate. You're like, whoa. So, you know, there was a conversation during the week. You know, break it down. 4 ounces on one side of the day, 4 ounces on the other side of the day. It says 8 ounces. It doesn't say how we have to take it. You know, so that way you can get your little sugar rush and be good. Okay, so we talked about green tea. This is all in the past 2 weeks of the benefits of all of these things here. And green tea definitely helps with the diabetes and keeping, you know, all those other things in control. So, hey, let's join the party of well people, you know. I can't get rid of it altogether because of other issues, but for those of us who can, hey, let's work on that thing here. We want to be around so that we can enjoy its due time, whether we're listening or whether we're ministering. Okay? So, everybody got your information. Now, we got some other news that's going to spark some interest, I'm sure. For those of us who fly, this is really going to spark some interest. Whew, I tell you. Let me tell you something. Before we go into this, you need to pray every time you get ready to leave your house. I don't care how you're traveling, you need to pray. And for those who have ever heard me pray, I pray for the pilot if I'm flying. I pray for the flight attendants. I pray for the nuts and bolts on the plane. I pray for everything. And let me tell you why. Because there has been, and I'm sure this ain't the only one, and that's what makes it so scary. They say that a former pilot has been charged with, and he has admitted. Nah, that's the even scarier part. Somebody talking about him. Lewd, indecent, and obscene acts during a flight. We ain't talking about before he pulled off. We ain't talking about after he then landed the plane. No, we talking about during. Okay? And it says that he exposed himself to a female co-pilot, pretty much, and watched porn on his laptop. Now, wait a minute. Oh, just stop. Okay. He admitted to his inappropriate behavior, and a judge sentenced him to 1 year's probation and $5,000 fine. Now, you done almost killed people, and that's all you got? Well, it says that he and this female employee were in the cockpit, and when it reached cruising altitude, y'all ready? He got out of the pilot's seat, intentionally took his clothes off, and watched porn on his laptop. And they said she didn't pay, supposedly, she didn't pay him any attention. Yes. He said she continued to do what she was there to do. And it was a prank. Well, you know what? Y'all just ran out of jokes. Sit down and fly the plane the way you're supposed to. You ain't up there to be pranking nobody. Yes, they said it was a consensual prank between him and the other pilot. And the judge was angry. Well, he wasn't angry enough as far as I'm concerned, and said that, you know, it could have had a traumatic effect on the other, you know, individual. And he should have known better after flying 27 years. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine what he did? See, this is only one thing he's telling. One thing he's telling. 27 years. He spent flying the friendly skies, and they did take, retired, actually. It was time for him to retire. Yeah, he probably needed to retire a whole lot earlier than this, since he didn't know how to behave in the cockpit. But, and they stopped paying him his retirement benefits. Well, thank you. You almost killed how many people? Because you, I can't even, now I do know that there's some level of autonomy when they're flying these planes. Okay, I have heard that. However, I didn't think it was at some level where you could take and pull out a laptop. Now, we can't multitask how many thousands of feet in it. Is it just me? Come on, y'all got to talk back to me. You got to talk back to me. 347-285-7. Please talk back to Stephanie today, because I need some help. I know I'm not the only one flying the friendly skies, and for you to tell me that I'm getting ready to fly to Hawaii for 13, 14, 15 hours, and there are some places where, who said that they were on a plane for like, I mean, many more hours than that? And to know that you have disrobed yourself, pulled out your laptop, and, you know, did some things, because he said he did some things, and, can you imagine if they both decided to participate? Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me here. And you going to pull out your laptop? Y'all have got to talk back to me. Please, my listeners, tell me what you think of this madness. I don't even want to call it behavior. I'm going to call it madness. All right? Come on. Now, just to let you know, we're short of some crew today. Yes, we've had some illness. We've got some doctor's appointments. We've got some health things going on here. We're trying to get our health together. So we are missing part of our crew today. But we always have enough to have a conversation. So let me say good morning to my brother Al. Where you at, Brother Al? Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop, chop, chiggity chop, and another chop of the morning.
All righty. Well, welcome to a new week on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And thank you for joining us today. And, Now, we started off talking about, you know, how to fight diabetes and get those sugar numbers either down, under control. Yeah. And I think you missed that part. So we're not going to talk about that part with you. But we're going to come back. We're going to come back, okay? So just put yourself on mute because we're going to come back. All righty? All righty.
Okay,
let's
cool.
say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much.
That's good. That's good. Well, we're talking this morning about getting those blood sugar levels down. And what's your status on being a diabetic? Are you free and clear this year?
I am completely free and clear. One of the things that I've been blessed, or, you know, sometimes when you look at other family members and the things that they're going through, it gives you a kind of push in your giddy up to kind of get yourself together. And that's the honest truth. My mother had diabetes for quite a while, and unfortunately she did not take care of herself like she should have. So, you know, my thing was, as soon as she became pre-diabetic, you know, I spoke to her on end about getting it under wraps, because that's the thing. Once you start taking diabetic medication, and I'm not saying that it's not possible, but once you start taking the diabetic medication, you're kind of stuck to it. You know, there are people that do get off of it, but you have to have extremely, like, it takes you a lot to get off of it once you've been on it. And so when you become pre-diabetic, you have to do everything that you can to turn that around. And so with my mother being the example, I chose to do something entirely different with my health, and I became proactive. And so my numbers are great. My numbers are absolutely great.
Wonderful. Well, you're a testament as to how, even though it's genetically bound for you, that you can take the bull by the reins and get it under control. And I will say publicly, yes, remember, I have a testimony. Back in 2006, they diagnosed me with being diabetic and having high blood pressure, and that runs in my family. And I was like, oh, absolutely not. And I begged her not to, you know, to give me a chance not to do the medicine for the diabetes. I didn't have any other control for the high blood pressure, but the diabetes I did. And like yourself, I got it under control. So only because of other issues now I have this diabetic issue. But yes, you can, like Tamika, like Pastor Steph, if you know, even when you have diabetes in the very early stages, you can turn that thing around. So for many years, I didn't have to worry about it. And Tamika is here to also testify that her numbers are controlled, okay? And we just gave you several ways to get this under control. So you have the ability to do so. So thank you, Tamika, for your testimony today and helping people understand that, yes, you can get this under control. Okay? Now, let me go back. I need you today, 347-285-7777. Before we move on, I need you to talk back to me today about our other story. Let me know what kind of madness you think this is, okay? All right, Tamika, we're coming back on that note. We're going to go over here and say good morning to our minister, AJ. And he's playing phone games with me this morning. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Yiggity-yang, yiggity-yang-yang.
You sending my sugar level up with the phone numbers, Minister AJ. I'm trying to follow you.
My other phone wasn't getting good reception in the cockpit, so I had to switch over.
I can't with you. I can't. Well, good morning, And we're talking, you have made mention several times that you are pre-diabetic, and you heard how today you can get those numbers down. What you say?
I say keep listening to Pastor Steph in its due time, because everything that she's telling you is working. I went to the doctor a couple of weeks ago, and in the morning my glucose level was 96. So I was doing fine.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. We was, that's fantastic.
I just pulled,
pulled out the blueberries.
Uh-huh. Got my oatmeal. Have my sardines. Uh-huh. I've been eating my watermelon, you know, laying off a lot of the carbs. So I'm doing quite all right. Exercising more in the gym. Just renewed my gym membership last week. Yes, and I got garlic and ginger in my water. So I'm doing okay. I'm ready for the cocktail.
Oh, all right. Excellent. So, listen, Tamika has talked about it. Minister AJ has talked about it, you know, and, hey, they're showing you how they can get it done. All righty. So, Brother Al, I'm getting ready to come to you, so get ready. We're talking this morning about this crazy story about the behavior of the pilot in the cockpit. Oh, my goodness, I can't take it to think that I'm in the air. And this is what you're doing. Brother Al, what's your thought?
Oh, man, that's this. You know, you don't play with people's lives like that. You know, like, you just, I believe it's selfish. You know, very, very selfish of you to even do that. You know, this is too high up to be messing around. You know, and I know they said they only gave him about a year, but, you know, it depends on what they charge him with. There's only so much they can charge. They shouldn't charge him with endangering people's lives. I don't know if they put
Absolutely.
That on the list. But yeah, definitely, because, you know, you throw people in a panic. You know, it's so funny that you said that. I remember me and Tamika was coming back from my graduation. And you prayed for him, which was good. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm tired, I'm half asleep. And, you know, we sitting there, I'm like, we take off yet? And the guy came over, the loudspeaker was like, well, we just, you're going to wait to get cleared because, you know, the light came on the dashboard. You just saw how quick I woke up. The light on the dashboard, you mean like an engine light? Like the car, you mean like an engine light came on? Yeah, dude, y'all need to fix this. I'm wide awake now because it's like, wait, hold up. Light came on the dashboard. What do you mean? So, you know, for him to go up in the air like that, and, you know, that's probably not the first time he did it. That's probably the first time he got caught. But I'm quite sure that ain't the first time he did it.
No, Brother Al. 27 years he's flown. 27 years. You know good and well that wasn't his first time.
Yeah, and he should be fired. You know, you put people out.
No,
you gotta
go, retired.
Bro.
He retired.
Wow.
That's why what the judge does, Brother Al, is so crucial. Because, see, they can't fire you. So, yeah, you need to hit him. I'm sorry. Smack him with something.
Hit him in the pocket.
Other than a year.
Hit him in the pocket.
Yeah.
That always works. Hit him in the pocket.
Yeah. Man, $5,000 me and you could come up with. That ain't nothing. That's nothing.
Right.
At all. So, yeah. Okay. No, I agree with you. They need to smack him hard. I'm waiting for Shantice to tell me that she's got some comments from you listeners regarding this madness. And, thank you, Brother Al. We're coming back with our conversation. Come on, Tamika, what's going on? We have thousands of things in the air and thousands of miles in the air. And, yo, you up there taking your clothes off with some consensual prank. And who are you playing with?
Okay, so, of course, I am not amused because, okay, fine, if that's something that you choose to do, why not do it in the privacy of your own home. You are literally in the sky and have I don't know how many, not just your life and not just the people on your specific plane, but if you're not paying attention because you're
popping
your Peter, so to speak, you have other planes because you're not listening to all of the other directions because you may need to make a left because of another plane coming by, but because you're amused, you can't focus on what's happening out there. And so your life, the plane, those that are on the plane, and those that may be in nearby planes. And so, no, I'm trying to figure out, you know, how much money he had to pay the judge because he should have gotten a lot more than what he got.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tamika, for the judge to say, oh, you know, this was a traumatic experience for the co-pilot, and you had, you know, you played with, like, that, yo, you didn't send no message with a, okay, so wait, a year's probation means what to somebody who has flown 27 years because he's about to retire anyway. So what does that mean to you? And then $5,000 with all the thousands of dollars they make? $5,000 was like 5 cents to him, Tamika. What's that?
And I'm amazed, you know, that his co-pilot, you said it was a female, right?
Yes.
That she endured that. You know, she continued on with her work. That it wouldn't have been me. You know, we're not doing the mile high club. No, I'm not a part of that. I'm not participating, and you're not going to do it in my presence.
Well, here's the thing. It said that it was a consensual prank. So clearly there's been some bantering back and forth. And that's probably why she didn't do anything when he was presenting himself nude and looking at the laptop. Because remember, the challenge probably was you probably won't be able to, you know, do what you do if I do what I do. Follow what I'm saying? So like you said, she kept doing what she's doing, but that's the reason why. Because it was a joke. This here? Tamika, help me, girl, because
I'm shaking my head, and before we proceed on, you know, the sad part about it is, and realistically speaking, you know, stuff like that happens more often than we are
aware of. That's right.
I have a friend of mine who drives a particular bus line, and you'd be surprised some of the things, some of the shenanigans. You know, so we're talking bus lines, but I mean, you know, you're up in the air. You know how far down you can
girl.
Go? Oh my gosh.
Girl. And you know what's funny, Tamika? You know, we have people who, like my mother, she mentioned flying, that I ain't going. You know, and I'm not afraid to fly. But when you hear stuff like this, and they do say that, hey, there are more accidents on the ground than there are in the friendly skies, which we know of, because whenever a plane crash happens, it's huge news. So the fact that we don't hear about it, we know that there's not as many as what happens on the ground. But I'm sorry, are you trying to catch up? Are you trying to match what goes on down here on the ground, yo?
Oh my goodness.
Like, Tamika, girl, it made my heart stop. Oh, thank you so much for conversing with me. Minister AJ, what is going on in the cockpit? Help.
These people have lost their everlasting mind. I don't know if that was a skit or a prank that they're going to put in the movie. Maybe they're doing a taping of Soul Plane 2. I don't know, but that's crazy. It sounds like Soul Plane 2 is coming because I don't understand. You know, you playing with too many people lives. You want a prank? Go in your backyard, put a plane in your backyard, dance on top of it, prank your neighbors. But you got too many lives in your head to be pranking while being so far up in the air.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness gracious. I tell you, you know, and there was a reason why I didn't look at the news prior to this broadcast, because I tell you, I'd rather not know what's going on. And, this is why. Well, we do have a comment from the listeners. So let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Oh, good. What are they saying out there in this due time world?
Okay, so the first comment from a listener says, I don't like flying in the first place, and now I have to find out that the pilot is doing something crazy. He couldn't wait till the flight was over. That's why I pray before I leave the house. Well, when I board a plane now, I'm going to look at the pilot and ask, are you okay?
Good one.
Oh, goodness gracious. Ah, good one, listener, good one. What else you got over there, Shantice?
And I have another comment from a listener which reads, it's a shame that those who are charged with the safety of others don't take it more seriously. This country would be so much better if we all did our part.
Absolutely, listener, absolutely. Do you have a comment, Shantice?
I mean, it's just like, even with hearing it, it's like really like, so now, as the first comment stated, now when I'm sitting, it's bad enough now, you know, we can't really eat on the plane the way you normally would because of COVID. But now I'm sitting here wondering, really wondering what the pilot is doing. So now, because normally there's a bathroom by the cockpit, right? A lot of the time. There's a restroom there, so... Now, when you go to the restroom, do you try to, like, peek in to see if you see anything? Or do you, you know, but it's just like, now you have something else to really concern yourself with because people just want to be ignorant. And it's just like, if your career becomes that boring, then it is time to retire. Or if you're not old enough to retire, to just switch careers. Because that means you're bored. That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to retire or just switch careers.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much, Shantice, for your comment and those comments from you listeners. I so appreciate you. You know, I'm telling you, this. People think I'm crazy when I pray. I'm like, all right, you know what, Jesus, take the wheel. Just take everything. You just carry this plane to where you need it to go because... But this is just a serious note here. This just goes to show you, like Tamika brought up, and like I said earlier, in 27 years, you know good and well this ain't his first time, and not only his, how many others? But here's the testimony that we can give. We have gotten from point A to point B, which is a testament to what God is doing. This just goes to prove that God is taking care of that plane. Because leaving it to man, goodness gracious. So we got to give God thanks that how many times have we flown? How many times have we been on that bus? How many times have we been on a train? And I'm talking about local MTA and the ones, the Amtrak, you know, things like that. How many times have we been on those charter buses? And my sister will not ride. She says even riding the express bus from in the city to the Bronx, she said the way they whip around these curves and almost like the bus is going to turn over. This is really a testament. Yeah, she can't take it. She can't take it. She said, Stephanie, I can't get in a cab because she's just done with the cab driver.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I can't even take the bus. She said, I can't even take the bus because, or she'll try to make it where she gets to a certain bus with a specific bus driver. She said, because coming around that Bruckner curve, coming around, and we know, I don't know how many of you have written 87, when you're coming from Jersey, coming around where you can either go to Queens or you can go up 87, man, the way they swing that curve, you be like, Lord, please, and you're like, yo, Kenya, slow down, and this just really goes to show how often God is doing his job. When we're at, you know, when, because listen, I'm going to tell you something, I go to sleep in a minute. Once you start moving this vehicle or this, I'm asleep. So I'm really putting my life in the hands of the Lord because I'm not even awake to yell like she does, you know. So we're going to give God thanks for how many times we've been on a plane and, you know, just God has just said, look at this nut job here. Let me just do what I need to do. Oh, so thank you all for, you know, indulging me, as I always say. Today, you know, you're a three-man team, and listen, we've gotten it done with just two. So we know that you're more than capable of handling the conversation and the topic at hand. And we're talking about questions you should never, don't ask these questions of your partner. Please don't. Because it just may take the conversation or the relationship or the mood in the opposite direction. Oh, come on, Brother Al. You know there are things that, you know, you didn't said to Tamika that you, once you said it, you just looked over and she was like, did you really just say that? Well, they say we should never ask, what's wrong with you? Ooh, baby. Is that a loaded question or not, Brother Al? Come on. Come on. You can't even ask your kids these days what's wrong with you, much less a partner.
Oh, well, what's wrong with you? Ooh, that can go in so many different contexts. But me, honestly, I want to know. If something's going on, I need to know what's wrong with you. I'm sorry. I need to know. I don't want to sit back and assuming things and, you know what? No, I ain't going to even take myself there. Let me ask you so I can hear from your mouth. Baby, what's wrong with you? I don't see nothing wrong with asking that.
I don't either. I agree with you, Brother Al. We should be able. Why am I looking at your frowned up face or listening to your silence and I can't ask you what's wrong with you? I agree.
There you go.
We know it's a loaded question, but you know it's a loaded question. Come on, you know better.
Yeah.
You know that. How many times have that simple question gone left, Brother Al? Come on now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
on,
it has.
What was wrong with you?
Yeah.
Tell me how it's gone left.
Well, you know, with my youngest son, mother, that was just a bad relationship. She was just so doggone mean, so I knew that wasn't going to last. And that has happened when she came in upset. I'm like, you okay? What, you know, what's wrong with you? Well, what's wrong with you? Wow. I just asked you. You know, I'm doing well. So, you know, it's okay. Even with the kids, working with the kids, some of the things that come out these kids' mouth, you know, I've asked kids, hey, you okay? You know, what's wrong with you today? You know? And kids respond, like, yeah, ain't nothing wrong with me today. What's wrong with you, Mr. Al? Okay, I see where this is going. I'm going to go ahead and walk away before I get myself into trouble. Pastor, if you don't know what I go through working with these kids, I'm telling you. Just one quick thing. There was a kid sitting there doing his work, and I told him what was wrong. I said, what's wrong with you? You know better than that. That answer is wrong. He looked at me, he looked at the answer, he looked back at me and said, Mr. Al, that's impossible. That is not wrong. I said, okay, let me just go and walk on over here. Since you know it all, turn it in and you let me know how it works out for you. So it can't be a loaded question.
Oh, goodness gracious. That is hilarious. Come on, Pastor,
when you get this one. Hold on, Pastor, when you get
what?
This one, right? He said, somebody did, he said, hey, you know, I see you, you know, you're looking a little down today. What's wrong with you? Nothing at all. Okay, thank you very much.
I I can't. Come on, Tamika. I mean, how, as innocent as that is, how often does that go left?
You have to know your relationship with your mate. You also have to know their temperament. There are times when you can clearly say, you know, baby, what's the matter? What's wrong? You feeling okay? You know, and it's fine. But you can see signs and symptoms that, uh-oh, something's not right. Somebody done ticked them off or, you know, whatever the thing is, you know. And so, you know, especially while you're arguing, that's the worst time to say, what's wrong with you? You know, because what automatically will come back is he will lose his absolute mind, and there's all kinds of things that can be said, that can be done. This can completely go left. You know, you're just trying to, you've been trying to talk, and you're saying something, and then all of a sudden you just don't think of anything else, but what's wrong with you? That is literally putting the cap on the top of that thing, and it can explode and it can backfire and it can really cause you a lot of damage. So there are things that you can say, you know, honey, let's talk, you know, you got a minute, you know, let's sit down and, you know, kind of cool off a little bit, but what's wrong with you is a bad move.
And you're right. I have to agree with you. You know, if you know your partner, be smart. There's just sometimes where your silence is much better and will be much more effective if you just rendered that silence, not ask that particular question. So I do agree with you. I do agree with you. Minister AJ, how has that worked out for you? You know, what's wrong? Is it, you know, what's going on? What's wrong with you?
A lot of times you know what's wrong with me. We out in the street going to the grocery store and you got on a bonnet and pajamas. You know what's wrong with me. You know, and a lot of times the person who is asking you that, they've got a world of problems themselves, and you spend so much time helping them with their issues. You're like, how you going to ask what's wrong with me? And I think there's so many different ways to ask that question. You can just say, what's wrong? You don't have to say, what's wrong with you? With you is a whole nother level. Because you know, the person who's acting, it's like, wait a minute, you're asking me what's wrong with me? You're constantly pissing me off. That's what's wrong.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Can you imagine that we're living in a world where just two extra words can just turn this whole thing around? This is just madness, y'all. This is straight madness.
I want to put a piece in that also. Sometimes we don't even realize. Sometimes sounds. You didn't even say a word. Like, I'll give you a for instance. I have a habit, and I've been doing it I don't know how long. I just inhale. It doesn't mean that I'm exasperated. I might be thinking on something. I might be doing something. But in response to what I'm doing, while I'm conversing with you, you hear, it didn't mean that I was agitated with our conversation. It just meant that I was either, it could be something simple. I'm doing my hair, and it didn't go the way that I wanted it to. And so my response was, I never said a word. That literally can cause situations to go so left, depending on the individual.
Yeah.
It sure does.
No. But you know what? You're so right, because that happened to me yesterday. And, you know, I already knew that she was, you know, upset. And she walked off and stomped off, and she was in her phone. She was in her phone, and she got up mumbling and stomping up the steps. So my assumption was you already annoyed from what I was talking to you about. So I said something, and she said, well, I wasn't even talking to you. That wasn't for you. But like you said, because it's happening simultaneously with a conversation or something else, you automatically put the two together. And man, is that a chemistry for, woo, baby, for some bad happening. So you're absolutely right, Tamika. You know, just stuff happening at the same time is just crazy. Okay, they say you should never ask, why are you always doing that? When I was reading this, I was like, oh, my gosh. Come on, Tamika. Why are you always doing that? Ooh, what does that mean?
Just when you said that, I got mad.
You know, Evan.
Like, what do you mean, why am I? The fact that you used you, why you always doing that, that is automatically, like, you're sticking your finger in my chest and you're attacking me. Like, why you always? It becomes a thing. Like, you just stuck your finger in my eye. What do you mean, why am I always doing this? And so, you might want to find a different way to say that. That's definitely not the move for me, you know. And as you can see, I was calm prior to you saying that, why you always know. That already went left. Let's find another way to say that. That's not the one.
Oh my! But I'm even listening to what you're saying. You know, well, you again, these one and two words being eliminated from the question really makes a difference to people. I'm like sitting here like, wow, really? Oh my goodness gracious. Ah, Minister AJ, why are you always doing that?
Why you never minding your business? Why you don't buy your business? Why you never doing nothing? If you was doing something, you wouldn't notice that I'm always doing this. And guess what? If I'm doing it, it's a reason for me doing it, you know? Do you really need to know, you know? Maybe
so
if you were doing something with
that?
Your life.
I'm sorry.
I'm doing it for a reason. I don't know. You can ask that. I'll explain to you. It depends on who it is and how you're asking it, your tone. You know, because if you're in a seat of do nothing, and then you turn around and ask me, why am I doing something? Yeah, I'm looking at you kind of sideways now. You know what I mean? You know, maybe you should get doing something that you wouldn't notice that I'm always doing this. Maybe I'm doing it because you ain't doing it.
Oh, why you always got to be throwing stuff up in the mix?
The funny thing is, when you're doing the hard job or the task that you should be doing it with the person, they're not asking you anything. You done bought all the groceries in the house, you done did all the laundry, you done cooked. You didn't ask me one thing. You know what I'm saying? But now when I'm spending my money a certain way, well, why are you always doing that? Why are you always... That's just the way I want to spend my money. I done made all of it. So you didn't ask me why I'm always doing the laundry. So.
Wow. Come on, Brother Al. Why are you always doing that?
I was just sitting on the phone cracking up. You know, because it's affecting me. Why I can't ask you that? You know, if you're doing something and it's affecting me and you're doing it all the time, it irritates me, it gets on my nerves. What is the problem with me saying, why are you always doing that? You know, like I said, for example, you know, we be there and I tell Tamika, why are you always planting that stuff in the backyard? She gives me a look, I walk away. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Why are you always planting this stuff in the yard? You know we're going to get in trouble. He gives me a look, I walk away. So I'm just saying, if you know something affect me, you're not just going to go to jail. I'm going with you, so I need to know why you always doing it. Why are you always doing this? It's not cool. I just want to know. If you are affecting me. But on a serious note, if it's something that affects me, then, you know, and like AJ said, Minister AJ said, it's also how you come and ask the person. You come and mean asking the person that, or you come and this and that, you know. I had kids ask me that. Coach, why you always do this? Or, you know, why you always read the Bible? Oh, well, I'm trying to learn some stuff. You just need to try it. But it depends on how the person come at you. So, and like I said, to be the case, she just gives a look. Don't worry about why I'm playing this. You going out. All right, cool.
Well, here's the thing. This is one of those areas where you can really say it's the words even in and of itself. Because if a person says, yeah, why are you always doing that? That if they say those particular words, that's why I was able to come out and ask you just like that. Because when people say that, oh, they straight annoyed by this time. This ain't going to be, why are you always doing that? No, by the time they get to you and they're asking you that question, oh, you best believe you have pissed them off. Like, okay, you know what, enough is enough.
Yeah, they
why
are
you
that.
Always doing that? Yeah, yeah.
Right,
they, I don't
right,
care
yeah.
how you mm-hmm. say that line. That line there. Using those words, or did they? You didn't already wore them out. You didn't already wore them out. So why are you always doing that? Ain't a pleasant question. Not at all.
And the people on the receipt, the person that's on the receipt, the person that's on the receiving end, they know they're doing wrong. That's why they get so touchy about it. You know,
right,
and the person checks
right,
you, so now
right.
you mad because the person checks you. You know you do this all the time and make me mad. And now I'm checking you
absolutely.
On it. Now you get that's why to make it all sad, I want you to just give me the look, and I know what that means.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Ooh, another loaded one. Why you never want to do what I want? Oh, you know. Listen, the way they have posed these questions, this must have been somebody who really has gone down this lane several times. Why you never do what I want? Come on, Minister AJ. What's with that question? Is that a question that you should never ask?
I think it is. Because most of the time in an instance like that, whatever you're doing, you shouldn't either be doing it or it's a much better way to do it. You know, like when we go shopping, we go on one store, we go on the next store, we go in five stores, only come back to the first store for you to purchase the dress that you really like for the beginning. That's an issue. You know what I mean? That's an issue. You know what I'm saying? Or we done went shopping all day, you know, Friday, for you to come out with the bonnet and the pajamas on Saturday. You wasted my time. You know why? Why are we doing it? Yeah, a lot of times you when you ask that question, you already know I don't want to do what you want to do. You know what I mean? Some people waste a lot of time. Some people waste a lot of time, you know, and if it's a waste of time, don't waste my time. You know.
Wow. All right, Brother Al, why you never want to do what I want?
I think that's a fair question. If I'm doing everything that you want to do all the time, why you can't do stuff I want to do? You know, let's take it back to what I said before. Tamika, I'm always helping you in the backyard. Why you don't want to call me to Bible study? I help you in the backyard. We can't go to Bible study. What's the problem? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going on. So I think, in all honesty, I think it's a fair question. If I'm every time you want to go to the shoe store, I'm going to the shoe store. You want to go do this, I'm going to do that with you. I'm going to do this. Now, I say, hey, listen, Lena, my friend got a barbecue, so I don't want to go. Like, why? I do everything you want to do. Why you don't want to do something that I want to do? I think it's a fair question.
Okay. Come on, Tamika. Is that a fair question? Why you don't want to do what I want?
The common place for that question. I think it's a legitimate
Wait. You're breaking
question.
Up. Wait. Oh. We didn't hear anything you said. Start all over again. You're breaking up.
Okay. Is this any better?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Great. So I think it's a fair and legitimate question, but I think it has its timing and its place. You know, and I'll give you a prime example. I guess we're throwing, you know, first of all, I want to know what Tamika Al is talking about. That's the first thing. Here's the funny thing. So I spent, like, we went to Walmart at, like, 12 noon. When we asked, it was midnight because we went to a super Walmart because I'm not the shopper. I'm really not. And I know, but you know I'm laughing because obviously it's true. You know, I don't like going to Walmart. I feel like when I go to Walmart, I'm held hostage. And these are things that you like to do because that's something that you like to do. So we spent all day at Walmart. That's all day Saturday. So now Sunday, I'm like, well, let's do this. Let's go to church. Let's, you know, and then after church, I got a plan. You know, I'm busy, you know, whatever the case may be. And so I think it is precious. That's a definite, you know, people have to realize that relationships are give and take, regardless of what it is, whether it's a male and female relationship, parent to child, sibling to sibling, friend to friend. It is important. You can't always take the reins. Every now and then there's a give and take, and you have to be even about that. You can't always, you know, be the controller. You can't always drive. Let me drive a little bit, you know, it's okay. You know, let us be able to communicate. But there is a time. You can't just say it when things are heated. Allow yourself to give that moment. You're sitting watching TV. You're chilling out. You're laughing. You're giggling. Laughing and giggling is the perfect time to put that, you know, just kind of wondering. You know, a lot of times I don't have a problem doing what you want to do, but how about we kind of change it a little bit? You know, let's do this. You know, let me put this on the agenda as opposed to, you know, I'll do whatever it is that you want to do, but let's kind of wiggle a little bit on this side and let's do something a little different.
Okay. Makes sense. But, you know, and like you said, you know, a lot of times it comes from an annoyance, you know, an annoying area or time period where you just kind of blurt it out. And maybe, you know, while you're laughing, it can come out. Man, that's okay. So listen, people, you know, take these as some suggestions. All right. So I'm going to play a little fill in the blank. They say you should never say, Brother Al, why are you so, you fill in the blank. You should never say, why are you so what?
Why are you so fat? You should never say it. Don't say it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Baby, why are you so fat? Don't you do it. All you listeners out there, heed my words. Don't you do it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow, Brother Al. You don't need no explanation for that one. You don't even know you need no explanation for that one. That one is self-explanatory. Wow.
Self-explanatory. Get your
kids. Oh, my goodness. Fill in the blank, Tamika. Why are you so, you should never say, why are you so stupid? Why? I'm going to ask you why.
Because at that point, like you said, you're at a point of exasperation. Why are you so stupid? And usually after that, you're the stupidest person I've ever seen on the face of this earth. At that point, you have held whatever it is that you had to say, and you're at a breaking point, and you just blurt it out, and then you go, uh-oh. So
girl.
You have to be cautious. You might even in your frustration think it, but let's put a cap on that mouth. Put a seal on it. Put some steel on it. Do whatever you got to do. Take a walk. Take a run. Disappear for a little bit. But just don't say it. Don't say it. That's a bad move.
Wow. Yeah, I agree. Minister AJ, we're talking about the things you should never say to your partner or ask your partner. So you fill in the blank this morning. Why are you so
dirty?
Oh, Mr. AJ, if they dirty, I don't think you need to be asking anything.
Exactly. I gotta ask you why you dirty? Listen, we got some issues. Then that means y'all need to be asking why you so stupid and why you know what I mean. You that's a combo question right there. Something's wrong. We done missed the mark.
Oh my goodness gracious! Why are you so dirty? Well, I agree. I wouldn't ask any of those three questions. Okay, so we're going to flip this to another side. Fill in the blank. Tamika, why aren't you, things you should never ask your partner, why aren't you?
That's a good one. Home on time?
Oh, why? Why could that go wrong? What's wrong with asking that one?
No. Because, you know, if there are relationships, you know, you got to be careful with how you say things. You know, a lot of what we're doing is, you know, you have to be cautious of how that sounds, you know, and you kind of taste it before you deliver it. You know, why aren't you home on time? So, you know, we're talking about men. You know, they don't like being questioned. It's one thing, whereas, you know, his schedule changed. But, you know, it at that point, when you have disseminated that information, he's received it as though, well, you're not my mother. You don't get to question me like that. There are different ways that you can say that, you know, and still have your meaning across. But why you ain't home on time? Why you so late? You know, that becomes an interrogative question.
Okay. All right, I can take that. Minister AJ, things we should never ask our partner. Why aren't you?
Woo! I got two. Listen, let's help somebody say, why aren't you in the mood?
Oh! Ah! Woo, baby. Why shouldn't you ask that one?
Because you might get an answer that you're not ready to hear, or the body language. The body language alone might take you out if you're not ready.
Wow. All right. I got you. What's number two? You said you had two.
Number two is, why aren't you more like your daddy?
Oh.
Yeah. Because, see, you know what? Sometimes you might see, you know, when people come over, you know, you might get the representative. You might see them fixing everything. You know, you might see them as the provider. But you don't, maybe there's some things you didn't see. Maybe you didn't see him going upside mama's head. You know, so it's always something that you might not see. Not my daddy, of course. I'm just saying, and just, you know, I do some counseling of some daddy, so I know.
You know what? I'm so done.
You know,
I'm
it
done.
Might
I'm
always
so
be something
done.
That you don't see. You know what I mean? So, you know, sometimes we only present the good to the public, but we keep the imprisonment stuff, you know, to our private. You know, stuff, you know, the stuff that, you know, we should only keep in private. We keep that in prison.
You know, okay. Amen. Woo, good ones. Y'all got some good ones. Come on, Brother Al, you wrapping this up. You got the final word today. We're talking about things you should never ask your partner. And one of the things, we gonna fill in this blank, why aren't you...
Well, a few of them came to mind, but I would say, if you say, why aren't you educated?
Oh!
That's a touchy subject. But you listen, that's a touchy subject for some people.
Absolutely.
You know, some people may have been through some things, and, you know, for instance, like me. I mean, God blessed me to go back and finish, but in my situation, like I said, my mother passed away, and my dad got hooked on drugs. You know, it's a touchy situation for some people when somebody asks that.
So are you saying, Brother Al, that you were just dumb?
No, take it easy how you talk to me, man. Take it easy how you talk to me.
Were you just dumb before you went back this round?
I was on the halfway mark.
Oh Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, and see, and there's another, we should ask it, but it's another touchy subject, even asking a friend or something. Why aren't you saved? That's another touchy subject.
Okay.
People look at you like, you know, people look at you like, what?
Wow.
But then, see, the backfire, look, it can backfire on you too if you're not doing the right thing. You ask this person, why aren't you saved? And that person looking at you said, why aren't you?
Or why are you saved and you? X, Y, and Z.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, we may not be ready for that answer. Well, listen, didn't I tell you we could get the job done with just three? Listen, we're never short here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. We have reached the end of our moment because we got to go to the switch tip. But I want to thank you, Brother Al, you, Tamika, and definitely you, Minister AJ, for helping me hold it down today. And we're going to continue. I got a whole list of stuff here. So we definitely continue in this conversation next week, God spares. But you have a blessed day. Thank you so much for just helping us get through our Shaking a Monday Morning Blues segment.
Oh,
have
yeah.
a blessed
one. Oh, yeah, you too. You too. To me, get that stuff out my backyard. Thank you.
Woo! Oh, my. Well, it's come to that moment where we get the switch tip for the week. So let's say good morning one more time to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
And what you got for us today?
I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our guy who keeps. And our switch tip 57 is watch what you question.
Oh,
and
you know
because
what?
I'm so serious. I was over here laughing. Like, I kept asking God, God, I need you to give me a tip. And that's a tip he gave me. And as the conversation was going, I was like, wow, look how you have this coinciding again. But as Christians, you know, despite what others believe, when you profess Christianity, when you choose to live the lifestyle of Jesus, that doesn't mean that you always agree or even understand with God's word, whether it be his word biblically or whether it's something he tells you while you're praying or talking to him or, you know, just that one-on-one time that you have with him. And one of the most dangerous things that we can do is start questioning him, whether we're questioning him during prayer while talking to him or when we're reading, if we're in Bible study, if we're in service, just having this ongoing questioning thing. And one of the things that I've discovered is there's a lot of people who don't see the danger in this, but immediately, I can't take the credit. Immediately, the Holy Spirit put me on to how dangerous this could be. And there's two ways that we can question God and or his word. We can either ask him questions to gain clarity because you have a desire to know him or his word better, which there's nothing wrong with that. But even when you do that, your questions still become very limited because you understand that his ways are higher than your ways and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So your questions are going to stop because you remember that you're not always going to understand him. Or you can ask him questions that will lead to judging or discrediting and or just being straight out defiant toward him and his word. And that is exactly where these consecutive questions will take you. I came across 2 Peter 1:20-21 in the New King James Version, which reads, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So these two verses, just shut down the whole fact that, well, man wrote the Bible and all this. Okay, no one can sit and write these things that were relevant back then, relevant now, that can still check you then and check you now, that, you know, the things that they went through in biblical times, even though technology has advanced so much and, you know, you can say, well, things are so much different from back then, it can still be applied today, and only someone who God inspires and has moved can write those things. And when you start with all of these questions, next thing you keep doing is discrediting what you're reading, especially if you're the type who doesn't like to be held accountable for stuff, and now you feel like the Bible is just a way to keep you contained from living in this world that God has made. You know, the things I hear is just like, wow. Okay, and asking these questions can lead to Revelation 21, verse 8, New King James Version, which reads, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." After a while, you become very disrespectful with your questions. If you have kids, just think about your kids and asking why. Why? 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 You know, and I know a lot of times, sometimes I used to do that to my mother as, you know, joking, but then she would get mad. And justifiably, because after a while, I think, okay, listen, either you're just becoming annoying because there's no more answers to this question, or why do you keep questioning me? What I said is what I said. If you don't understand it, I can get that, but maybe it's not meant for you to understand. And you can sit here and fool yourself all you want to, but the more you don't pay attention, especially the type of questions that you ask, the more you become the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, the sexual immoral, and you will have your part in the lake of fire. That is not what I am saying. That is what God is saying in Revelation 21:8. So we have to make sure that we're making a conscious decision to switch to listen. If you listen to Switch Tip 56, where I gave you the 5 tips on how to get closer to God and not be distracted, and you know, having that daily regimen of praying and studying all of that, you're going to be put onto a whole lot more than what you thought. Okay, you're going to learn and understand a whole lot more. You won't even have to ask the questions half the time, because God is going to already let you in on what you need to know. So let's make the conscious decision to make the switch from being disrespectful and annoying, because I'm pretty sure we annoy God with all these irrelevant questions, to just being patient and letting him just let us know what it is he wants us to know. So let's stop questioning God and make sure we pay attention to what we're questioning. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Ah, thank you, Shantice. Another switch tip that coincides with our general conversation for our Monday morning. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank you. Wow. Okay, wait. What's the title of the switch tip one more time, please?
Watch what you question.
Okay, watch what you question. All right, how many more times is she going to have to tell me that during the week? Woo, baby. Watch what you question. You know, it's things you never ask your partner. And, you know, we talked about, you know, some of the things. But we're going to come back to that, because guess what time it is? Ooh, it's time to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord together. All right? You've already done this thing separately, but now it's time for us to go before the Lord as a unit. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Father of all mankind, we thank you, oh God. How can we say anything else to you before we say thank you? Thank you because you woke us up today. You have kept us safely through the weekend where we were saying see you on Monday, God spares. And here we are shaking the Monday morning blues again together, God. Thank you because your word says that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And as we wake up to its due time with Pastor Steph each and every morning, you have proven that, because you are always addressing an issue, multiple issues, day by day. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for how many times we have flown. We have ridden in a cab. We have taken that bus. We have taken that train. Our teeth were chattering, but you brought us through. You helped us get from point A to point B. God, we're going to thank you for even walking from point A to point B? Because that's a challenge these days. Everything is just so crazy that there is no assurance that the people who have even been given charge over us are taking the proper precautions, are paying attention to what they're doing, are really being a good steward over our lives. But because you are always on the job, we say thank you. Because no matter what they're doing, you're always doing what you do. We say thank you. Because you already knew the deficiency before the ride even got started. And you do what you do. You did what you did. You will do what you always do. We thank you. We thank you. Because little do we know how many dangers we have not even had an inkling of knowledge. People who we were so assured of that we're in good hands. We don't even know what's going on. How many heart attacks you have stopped on the highway because you do what you do. Thank you so very much, God. And we just apologize now. We ask for forgiveness for just taking all of this for granted, just assuming we were going to get from point A to point B. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sending your son for such a time as this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you for the due time crew, God, who was here, who always gives their best, who you endow with a level of wisdom and understanding. And we thank you for their tenacity and their stewardship and how they look at what they do. We ask you to be with everyone who should have been here today but who couldn't. We ask you to keep them safe, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to continue to watch over them, and we ask you to give them rest and peace as they need. And we're just asking you to take care of our listeners, because they should not just be hearers, but they need to be hearers and doers, not just listening, because it's not a comedy show. These are facts of life. These are the components we're going to need to use to get through this thing called life. And you have shown that no matter how small the detail or how large the issue, that you got it all under control. And we pray that our listeners are also receiving testimonies from us that they can. Because if you did it for us, you can do it for them. Let them call in or comment to encourage us or the other people who may listen, whether they're listening live or whether they'll listen 10 weeks or 10 months from now. Because your word says that we will be healed as long as we follow the regimen. So we thank you, Lord, for even our small level of understanding into the health issue as to how we can take care of our temple better, how we can improve on our living, how we can show you we appreciate what you do. Thank you so very much, God. And we give you the glory and the honor. So rightly do your name, God. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ah. Man, oh, man, oh, man. What a Monday. You know, I'm still trying to figure out how I got through Mondays prior to May 11th, 2020. Now, I'm not the one who needs to shake the Monday morning blues, because I just don't get up like that. And I honestly can't ever tell you that I have. But isn't that a testimony? That we are being carried to the degree that we don't even worry about that. Now, and I'm sickly. I have physical issues. I live in pain. But I don't wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Oh, amen. That no matter how hard it may be for me to move them bones, them legs, them arms, how much pain I'm in, I still put my feet on the floor and give God glory. Do I feel the same every day? Absolutely not. But look at what God has implemented in our life. I mean, just shaking. And here's the thing that I love about God. You know, we say we shake the Monday morning blues, but we're actually shaking that on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays. And guess what? He's made provision for us to shake Saturday, which is Sabbath, and Sunday. So there's no way you have any excuse, because we're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where you can listen. I make sure that by the time the episode ends, you have a title for the show. There was some missing because I kind of got a little distracted. But for the most part, almost every, for a whole year, 5 days a week, I make sure you can look and see, what did we talk about today? What was the topic today? Because when I go back and I think about all the things we have talked about, all the things that God has addressed in our life, we're just blessed that we don't have to hunt, we don't have to look for, we don't have to worry live 5 days a week. But even after the episode ends, you can go and listen to any episode you want to. And that's a testament as to how great God is, that we don't have an excuse how we're going to get through the day, or, you know, how we're going to address this, or I don't have anybody to talk to. You got tons of people to talk to. We have had the most phenomenal guests. We've talked about so many things. And today we're talking about, you know, questions that you should never ask your partner. Now, this is, again, subjective to whoever's asking the question, who's ever on the receiving end of the question, like we said. And there are times when, like the Due Time crew has said, it's just not the time for that. It's not the time. And we may be saying, well, why not? Well, listen, there's something called discernment. And one of the best things that you can do for your partner is to discern when, you know, sometimes you can just step back a minute. You know, we talked, we did a whole host of relationship clinics. We've done suggestions from people who've been married for 30 years and the things that they did and the things that they didn't do and all kinds of things. And one of the things is know your partner. Know your partner. You know, be smart enough to just, you know, go pray. And this is one of the things that I used to always talk about when we were doing the individual conversations. Learn how to be a wise wife. Learn how to be a wise wife. You have been given as a help. You've been given to help. Well, you can't be an assistant and a problem. No, it doesn't work like that. So here's what happens. When he comes home, or when he looks like he might be in a bad mood, and you know that you just might not be able to approach him at that time, go pray. Go talk to God. Go talk to God. And I promise you, he will lead you as to how you need to go, what you need to say. Because we, you know, I always say the men fight the world on a regular basis. They don't need to come home and fight. And how can we make that happen? You know, we talked about questions like, what's wrong with you? Why are you always doing that? Why do you never want to do what I want to do? Why are you so? Why aren't you? Sometimes it's the words itself, because a couple of these questions, just the simple words, if no matter how you said it, the wording was off. And there are sometimes that it's not the wording, it's the way you say it. No matter what words you use, the way you say it can also always make things wrong. And then there were times where it doesn't matter the words, it doesn't matter the way you say it, it's the timing. So, you know, there's a chemistry to this. There's a chemistry. And I'll give you an example of this embroidery. You know, at one point, all you were told is for T-shirts, you know, you use this type of backing, you know, and it works. And, you know, for this, so we started using tear away on everything. And after a while, it wasn't working. And we had to change it to cut away. And then the other day, I'm in here working, and I'm like, okay, the thread don't work with this needle. The needle don't work with that thread. This color don't work here, this color. And now, the other day, I found out, and I said to Shantice, I said, okay, Shantice, here we go. You got a chemistry between the fabric that you're using, the stabilizer, the backing you use, whether it's going to be cut away or tear away. Now we got to also be concerned with which color, the type of thread, and the particular needle we did. Now, that's all that's got to go into how you run somebody's T-shirt, how you run Brother Al's graduation stall. It's a chemistry, and that's what we're talking about today. Using that chemistry of the who, what, when, where, and why to help execute the best way to ask a question, when to ask the question, how to ask the question, or if we need to ask that question. Sometimes all these questions don't need to really be asked. Yeah, it's not about just saying what you want to say, or, you know, he walked in or she walked in, I just needed to know. Sometimes, again, prayer will take care of everything. There's sometimes your words, no matter what you say, it ain't going to work without the direction of God. He's got to tell us how, when, what, why, don't, do. Man, this is a chemistry, and the only chemistry is given by God, the best chemist ever. So, pay attention to that. And if you miss something, go back and listen. Okay? You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Duke Time crew, no matter how few they were today, for helping me hold it down. They did a fantastic job. And I want to thank you for listening and hanging out with me today and giving me those comments. I so surely appreciate it. Go back and listen to past episodes. Pick up what you missed. Keep in mind, choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares, I love you.